1 Samuel 12, verse 16. Let us again hear what the word of the Lord is saying. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest now? I will call upon the Lord to send thunder and rain. And you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. Then Samuel called upon the Lord. And that same day the Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. The people all said to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants, so that he will not die. For we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king. Do not be afraid, Samuel replied. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. We end the reading there at verse 25. There is one particular verse I want to highlight this evening, and that is the verse that's on the front of the order of service. If you notice the verse that is in front of the order of service, the verse found in this chapter which we just read, verse 24. The words of Samuel to the people of Israel in his day. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. I was led to choose this text because I was giving careful thought to the fact that the word deacon means to serve. And indeed, all Christians are called to serve. So I thought it would be very appropriate this evening to consider the theme of how we are to serve the Lord. How we would be spurred on to serve him well and to serve him even better than we are serving him. Of course, the context here is very different from the context in which we find ourselves this evening. This is Samuel's farewell speech, and he is rightly accusing the people of having been unfaithful to the Lord or distrusting of the Lord in wanting a king to rule over them. And you can see that he's chiding them there and rebuking them for that. So it's really in the context of an act of unfaithfulness. I don't think we as a congregation have been unfaithful in seeking to appoint a new deacon. There's a need for a new deacon. And so there's a different context. Nevertheless, the principles here of how to serve the Lord well, I think are some of the key principles of how to serve the Lord well, are found in this verse 24. And I want to break it down very, very simply for you this evening into three parts, just following the order of the verse itself. And the first way in which this verse tells us that we are to serve the Lord is reverently. Reverently. With reverence. With fear of the Lord. Look at verse 24. Here's something that we need to be sure that we're doing, whether it's as deacons, or elders, or members of the congregation. But be sure to fear the Lord. But be sure to fear the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? It's important that we understand what this means then, if we're to be sure to fear him in order to serve him well. As has often been said, and it's quite clear, it doesn't mean a kind of terrible terror that would paralyze us. We wouldn't be able to serve the Lord well if we were terrified of Him. I remember secondary school, Irish was a subject. I was good at Irish. And we're going up into the final years when the leaving cert was approaching, so the good students were given the best Irish teacher in the school, actually a member of the Reformed Student Church, believe it or not. It's an honour. But the good students were given the most able teacher, most experienced teacher. But I was really fearful because he had a reputation that if you stepped out of line in the slightest manner, he would be down on you like a ton of bricks. He had a terrifying reputation, even though he was a very able teacher. So I remember the first day that I went into his class, and he gave us this poem, this Irish poem, to learn. Quite a long one. It was a challenge. I remember going home that night, and I said, I've got to learn this well, because I'll be in trouble if I don't be able to say it properly, I don't be able to recite it properly. So I really spent a long, long time, far more than I would normally do, determined to impress him. So he came to the class, and I went into the class. But I was so terrified of him. When it came to my turn to say the poem, I couldn't get a word out. I stammered and stuttered, and the words left me. The terror of him paralyzed me. But actually, he was much more gracious than I'd been told he'd be. He understood I was terrified of him, and he gave me a chance. But you can see how an unhealthy kind of fear would actually render you unable to do anything, might paralyze you. So we're not talking about that kind of fear. What is meant by the fear of the Lord? It surely involves this. It surely involves a deep awe and respect for the Lord in the light of His holiness, in the light of His greatness, and the light of His goodness. That cultivates within us a deep respect and honour for Him. Do you have that? The ungodly do not have any of this. Of the ungodly it is said in the book of Romans, quoting from the book of Psalms, there is no fear of God before their eyes. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And doesn't that describe many people in our society today? People who can go through day after day and week after week, and even the thought of God is not in their minds and hearts at all. They don't even think of Him. Don't have any thought for Him. Far from seeking to honour Him and respect Him and please Him. No thought of the Lord at all. That's a very sad way to be. And but for the grace of God, that's where each one of us would be. I trust this evening, by the grace of God, you come to know Him, to trust Him, and you do fear Him. You do reverence Him in this healthy way. It's not incompatible at all with the love of God. You see, I think many today are very familiar with the fact, yes, we're called to love the Lord, and rightly so. But the fear of the Lord is not in any way incompatible with or inconsistent with fearing Him and reverencing Him. It's a bit like a child who may both love their father and respect Him and honour Him. It doesn't have to be a contradiction. Let me give you one verse of scripture, I think, that highlights that loving the Lord and reverencing the Lord go side by side and hand in hand. These verses in Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and the statutes which I am commanding you today for your good. You see there, side by side, fear the Lord your God and love Him, and then also, and serve the Lord your God with all your heart. The fear of the Lord is something that's emphasized a lot in the Word of God. We've already sung some psalms. There's one more psalm we'll be singing at the end. There are lots of psalms. It's not hard to choose psalms to express the fear of the Lord. What does the book of Proverbs say about the fear of the Lord? It tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if we want wisdom to serve the Lord well, We need to start with that reverent attitude in our hearts toward him. And in the New Testament, some might say, is the fear of the Lord maybe just an Old Testament thing? Not at all. I'll just give you two examples here from the New Testament. Acts 9, verse 31, the church was flourishing. It says that the New Testament church, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of God. We might latch on to, strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. But then don't miss out that last phrase, or growing in numbers, that's an encouraging phrase. But then, living in the fear of God. Here was a flourishing Christian community, which has been strengthened by the Holy Spirit. But it's also said of them that they were living or walking in the fear of God. Great attitude of reverence in their hearts for the Lord. Let me give you just one other example in the New Testament. There are more. I'll give you another one. Ephesians 5 and verse 21, speaking of the way that Christians should relate to one another in the church. That we're to be ready to submit to one another. Not domineer over one another, but to be ready to submit to one another. What will inspire us to do that? What will help us to do that? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. With reverence for Christ, we'll be ready to submit to one another, which isn't actually an easy thing to do. Has the church lost something of the fear of the Lord? Has the modern day Christian church perhaps lost? Have we lost something of this attitude toward God? And here's a cartoon, perhaps a little excessive, but makes the point. It's a lot of the modern day evangelical church. It's a bit like here someone coming into McDonald's or into the church canteen. I'll have the happy clappy meal. Now, of course, we've got to be careful here. Our worship is not to be joyless. We're not to seek to be dull. But as David Wells has written, the holiness of God sits lightly upon the modern evangelical church. The holiness of God sits lightly upon the modern evangelical church. Having a deep enough sense of his holiness. And therefore we don't have enough awe and honour, respect for him. Let's remember these words in 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here. How? In reverent fear. Serving the Lord then involves having the right attitude to the Lord. Yes, loving him will inspire us to serve him faithfully. But also having that deep reverence for him, for his holiness and majesty, wisdom, knowledge, grace and kindness will inspire us, whether we be elders or deacons or members of the congregation, to serve him well. How to serve the Lord then reverently, but be sure to fear the Lord. How to serve the Lord, secondly, faithfully and wholeheartedly. Look at the next phrase as Samuel addresses the people here. He says, but be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. You see how side by side there is faithfulness and there is wholeheartedness in service. That's what Solomon was exhorted to do by King David. Here's a father, a godly king, giving his son good advice. What did he say to him in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9? And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart, understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he'll be found by you.
But especially those words, and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind.
A godly father's advice to his son, what good advice that be for any parent to give to their children.
As Solomon was exhorted to do, to serve wholeheartedly. As the believers in Ephesus were exhorted to do. These are strictly addressed to slaves, but the principle goes beyond that. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Serve wholeheartedly. Have your eyes on the Lord. Ultimately, you are serving him. In our different roles and responsibilities in the congregation, we do serve one another, but ultimately, we're serving the Lord of the church. Serve wholeheartedly. Think of how Caleb was commended. Remember Caleb and the spies? How most of the spies and the people thought getting into this promised land is just too much. There are giants in the way, and they were rebelling and they were refusing to follow the Lord into the land. But Caleb was different. And in Numbers 14, verse 24, he is commended in this way. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I'll bring him into the land he went to. He had a different spirit to the others. He served the Lord wholeheartedly. We're to serve the Lord reverently. We're to seek to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. What is that the opposite of? Wholeheartedly. Surely it is half-heartedly. If you and I are honest, and there are times when we're very half-hearted in doing what the Lord has called us to do. Why would that be? Well, we're sinful people, of course. Maybe it is that you could be discouraged by others. When you've sought to do things, you've heard words of discouragement. That can take away a wholehearted service. We have to be careful about that. Maybe you've been serving and the results have been so disappointing. All your efforts, there seems to be no real fruit at all. You've grown half-hearted, therefore. You've lost heart. Or maybe simply distracted by the world. We always have to be on our guard against that. We're not giving our best efforts to service in the church because we're distracted by too many other things. Not things that are essential, but other things that are not necessary at all. Maybe some of us here this evening need to pray the prayer that we'll be singing in Psalm 86 at the end of the service. In Psalm 86, the servant of the Lord prayed, "Unite my heart to fear your name." Or another way of rendering it, "Give me an undivided heart to fear your name." And the psalmist also in that psalm prays this, "Turn thou to me and thy rich grace me bestow, thy rich grace me bestow, thy servant make strong from above." Maybe you're feeling discouraged and disheartened in the role that you're seeking to fulfill for the Lord. Maybe you've grown a bit half-hearted. Ask the Lord, bestow his rich grace on you to make you strong from above, to restore that wholeheartedness of service. We're called to serve the Lord reverently, called to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. And then thirdly, we're called to serve him gratefully. Gratefully. Having given consideration to the great things he has done for us. Look what Samuel reminds the people of here, and he's done it earlier on in the chapter. He says in the end of verse 24, "Consider, give thought to, ponder, meditate upon what great things he has done for you."
Go back to 1 Samuel 12 and verse 11. Samuel spelled out some of the great things. And the people had been in trouble. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Jerubbaal and Barak and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side. And you lived in safety. And Samuel says to the people of Israel, don't lose sight of that. Don't forget that. Dwell upon it. Consider it. And it'll spur you on to serve the Lord more wholeheartedly, more faithfully. Or taking an individual case again, as we'll be singing in Psalm 86 at the end. Psalm 86, stanza 7, the psalmist says, for great are thy love and thy kindness to me, my soul from the grave thou dost raise. For great are thy love and thy kindness to me. Consider what great things the Lord has done, says Simon. What great things the Lord has done for us, believers here tonight. What great things he has done for you, hasn't he? You know this verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What great things. What great love. What a great sacrifice. He gave his one and only Son. What a great mercy. For whom did he give his one and only Son? The world in its fallenness and undeservedness. We in our fallenness and undeservedness. What a great deliverance. Isn't it what a great deliverance he's brought about? Delivering us from perishing. Which we're thinking about this morning, how awful that is. What a great blessing he has bestowed upon us in Christ. But have eternal life. Everlasting life. No wonder the word of God says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation. Believer here tonight, consider what great things he has done for you, especially in Christ Jesus, in saving you from your sin. Samuel then here identifies the people of God in his day, how they are to serve the Lord well, reverently. May we cultivate in our hearts as we meditate upon his word and think about his holiness and his goodness. May each of us cultivate in our hearts more reverence for the great Lord whom we're called to serve. Wholeheartedly. Not half-heartedly. So we won't leave a job half done. But we'll do it the very best we can for him. And gratefully considering what great things he has done for you in Christ Jesus, your Saviour.